Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Wednesday, May the 9th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And we're halfway through a really gorgeous week here. Weather's holding nicely, so it's a beautiful spring. I'm glad spring has arrived, and I'm enjoying it. Got another 10 miles in today on the bike. Boy, did I feel it in my knees, but I was glad to get out there. So how are you doing? What's happening at your end?
Oh my goodness, my life is exploding in positive ways.
Ooh, are we seeing like little puffs of cloud because of all the explosions? No, I'm kidding.
Well, and what I want to talk about, really, it's an update to Project X.
Oh, okay.
Which is really about, you know, expanding my career in new ways. And last night I had my first call with one of my new clients. And it was interesting how when we'd set up the call, probably 5-6 days ago, we were kind of talking through her schedule, and she said, well, how about 4 or 4:30? You know, I'll be in the car then, so that'll be a good time to talk. And I kind of got this intuitive hit that it's better for her to be in a place that's quiet. And I said, well, can we wait until you're home, just in case we need to do some deep work where I need you to like close your eyes, because obviously you don't want to do that while you're driving. She went, oh, okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. So, you know, we scheduled it for a time when she was home, and our session started off, and, you know, I was kind of setting some framework, and she was telling me, you know, kind of what she's wanting to work on. And after about 40 minutes, I sensed we were now in the deep stuff. And I said to her, okay, close your eyes, you know, take some deep breaths. And I took her through some stuff. And by the time it was done, we had done what I have called in previous shows a quantum leap.
Really?
Big, huge quantum leap, which is the thing I love to do more than anything else.
You have said that many times, yes.
And she was kind of at a loss for words, which that always tells me it's a good thing. Because mm-hmm. when you just know you've had a big old huge monumental experience and you don't even know how to express it yet, that's a good sign.
Right.
So I said to her, I go, you know, I'm really glad I followed my intuition, because even though I didn't have a preconceived idea of where this session would go, obviously our spirits knew that we were going to do some deep work that would require you to not be in your moving car. And she laughed and said, oh, you're so right. And so anyway, you know, we ended that call. I was like, on a cloud.
I can
we
imagine.
Set up our second call for Friday, and she goes, you really want to do this on a Friday night? Like, I can't remember what she asked me if I wanted to do, but it was kind of like party, go out on the town, something like that. I'm like, are you kidding? Doing this kind of work is my going out of the town on the town, because this is the most satisfying experience I ever have in my life. This is just so absolutely, except for like romantic relationships. Those are pretty fun too. Mm-hmm. But, so I'm like all excited about the next one. But nonetheless, last night I was just kind of basking in the fun of what we just did. And I haven't had a session like that in a long time where we just like, I couldn't believe on the first session, this is how advanced she was and ready for it. Boom, we went there. We did this mega quantum leap kind of belief change. And I was feeling on top of the world. And it was amazing how much rejuvenation and refreshing I get when that happens. And so anyway, I was just thinking about this was fun. Oh, this was fun. I just couldn't help saying that over and over to myself. So this morning when I woke up, I was thinking about that. Now, mind you, I'm at my computer doing my day job, you know, typing away, doing something that I needed to do. And my thought about working with her came into mind again. And I was thinking, that felt so good to me. And there was kind of a juxtaposition of the work I was doing at my computer versus my thought about the work I did last night, and recognizing that what I do when I do session work is something very unique that I bring into the world. I'm not just a law of attraction coach, although I bring that into a session. But I have so many other tools and modalities, and we worked with one of the other modalities last night. But the biggest piece was that I work with my intuition, that I'm guided. And not every coach on the planet has that 3-point thing, law of attraction, other tools, and working with intuition. I mean, I wish every coach did, but not every coach does. And I just had this huge awareness, like my inner being was just filling me with this understanding. This is something so valuable and so important, and so many people are desiring to be connected with someone like me. And it just shifted me in such a way, like, this is big time value. This is really important work. And then again, I'm tapping my fingers on the keyboard and I realized what I do in my day job, it's not that it's not important work, but it doesn't require the specialized skill set that I have created in my coaching business.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
And I could leave my day job and have, you know, there would be plenty of resumes to fill my role as an executive admin.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there's not a whole lot of resumes that can replace me in what I do as a life coach. Even though there are gazillions of life coaches, who I am is very specialized.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this huge hit on, this is what I need to be doing. This is where my time needs to be prioritized. And it just made it a profound effect on me internally, because it was a juxtaposition between the job that I do for my current income and the career that I'm moving towards. It's like all of a sudden, the job that currently creates my income felt dim. And within an hour or two, I was getting this metaphor of how, you know, like a fruit, like a tree, like a lemon tree. If you don't pick the lemons off when they're ripe and ready to be eaten, they start to get hard and dark and fall off and they turn rotten. But you don't have to do anything if you don't pick them. It's like nature will just have it decay and fall off.
Right, sure.
And I kind of got that metaphor for my day job. Like, I don't have to do anything to exit it. It will just fall off as the new thing takes its place.
Well, that makes sense. And I to be honest, I think it's fantastic what your story was. And you described how wonderful it felt. You were just going on and on about how wonderful it felt. And I'm thinking, boy, if that doesn't manifest anything, I don't know what will. There was so much passion behind that and enthusiasm and excitement. Like, whoa, that was huge.
And the story doesn't stop there.
Oh, there's more. But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. This is better than the get to for one price.
Okay.
So I get a call just a little bit after I was getting this metaphor about, you know, the day job will just kind of dry up on its own. I get this call from a lady, and I'll just say she was at a crisis point. She's someone who had called me before, but we hadn't ever set up sessions, but she definitely said she was drawn to me. And she felt really like I shouldn't be making this call to this woman because I haven't even had her as a coach. But I told her, I said, I'm glad you called. And she just talked through, you know, through tears, the difficulty of what was going on. And, you know, before we hung up the phone, I said, you know, you're in a kind of a crisis mode. I said, let's start doing some work today. I'll move my calendar around, you know, I'll send you a link to make the payment and then we'll get you scheduled. And so all of a sudden I already had a client for tonight, but one's on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
So I'm able to book them a couple hours apart and boom, we started with that. And I thought, wow, this is moving really fast for me.
It is.
Because I'm so open to new things. I'm open to another way of doing business. I've gotten to use my new merchant account twice now. How's that for fun?
That's right.
And it's already set up. And I just have such a sense of, like, the gates are open. And I had this little thought in my head this morning, like, you know, I had resisted coaching for a long time. I had even resisted doing this really deep work that I just told you I did with the client last night. I went, oh, I don't want to do that anymore.
Wow, you surprised
me. Well, and I said to myself today, I went, so what's the deal? Now I'm having so much fun doing this, and this is just, it feels so profound. How come I didn't like it before?
Hmm.
And it's not like I really have an answer for that, But I did get a story, and I'm coming to realize that when my inner being like reminds me of something, that's like my sign for the thing I learned in that story is what I need to remember right now.
That's a nice way to get messages, by the way, through a story, because stories are easy to buy into and they're easy to get in, you know, to understand what's going on and explore and so forth. So I think that's wonderful you're getting it through stories.
Well, and if, you know, you recall from one of the stories I've told about my career as a costume designer, that actually started because I was trying to get a job at a bank, and that was where the bank people were like, no way, Jose, you don't have the credentials, even though I went through two interviews saying, yes, we love you. And that was a door that got slammed shut, and I couldn't go into banking like I wanted. And the one skill that I knew I had available was my sewing talents and my pattern making abilities, but I didn't want to use them for income because that was my personal fun hobby. But yet I was up against the wall. I needed to create income and it had to happen fast. And so I let my guard down. I said, all right, damn it. If I have to make income through my sewing skills, all right, I'm willing to do it. Back in the day, went through the Yellow Pages, called all these different places that could use sewing skills, got hired on the phone and was asked to start the next day. They never saw my resume. They never saw a sample of my work. And boom, I start working at a costume shop. And then a couple years later, one of the customers that had been working with me at that shop for a long time asked me to come and do freelance work for them, which paid a whole lot more. And that was the beginning of my costume career, where that was the most fun and fulfilling career I could have ever asked for. And the truth is, I didn't specifically even ask for it. But yet it met all of the criteria of what I truly desired in a career. So it's like law of attraction totally knew how to fulfill my desire for making work play, allowing me to have a personal life as well as a work life be totally integrated, where there was never like you work 8 to 5 and then you are off and you do have your personal life until you go back to work the next day. I like the idea of having them just kind of be integrated. And that's what my costume career was for me. And so what I'm feeling now, because that was the story I got, and that was the reminder that like my inner being and the universe, they know how to conspire on my behalf in a way that I can't even imagine, that will totally fulfill me and excite me. And so even though at one time I was like, no way, I am not using my sewing skills, and yet it turned out to be a great career, I was like, no way, I don't want to do coaching. I don't want to do this kind of deep work. And here it is turning around for me. And so I'm chuckling to myself and laughing at the things that I draw a line in the sand where I say, no, spirit, I will not go there. What I do is literally delay the satisfaction of what I truly desire when I draw a line in the sand.
Yeah, how interesting. In both cases, you were actually drawing a line that said, I don't really want to do something that's my fun thing because I'm afraid it's going to somehow get corrupted, or I don't know what it was, but you know, something along that line. And once you let that down, boom, all of a sudden stuff starts to happen. That's really fascinating.
I know. So what I can tell you today is, you know, when I look at the evidence of what's occurring in my life, I have to say, okay, this must be the direction because it's fun. I'm refreshed when I do it. I feel totally satisfied. I know that I've been able to make a difference in someone else's world. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. So I guess I'm officially saying I'm putting my shingle out. I'm open for business.
There we go.
I'm not just a life coach. I'm a quantum leap life coach.
Isn't the word transformational in there somewhere, if I remember correctly?
Well, yeah, that's the other one. I'm a transformational life makeover coach.
Oh, okay.
I do like that, but I kind of see that kind of in another area where I'm going to be moving to.
Oh, okay.
Also.
It's not part of the same thing.
But I have a feeling multiple things will overlap. But right now, it's like, I love doing this transformational work because it is so life-changing. It is a quantum leap, you know, and I'm all about moving fast. I always have been. So it doesn't surprise me I do quantum leap work because that's all I ever wanted to do in my own life. if I'm going to do some personal development, I want to move fast.
So every course
I sought out to take was something that promised that you could like do work faster and quicker than traditional conventional methods. So that's what I sought out to do. And that's what I've really become quite adept at doing. And it's fun.
If you want to take your quantum leap, please call now. Operators are standing by.
At WendyDillard.com. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, I was thinking to myself the other day, so how will I know when it's time to say, okay, it's time to put in my resignation? How will I know? And what I was getting is, you'll know.
Yeah, I don't think there's not going to be any doubt. You'll know for sure. It's going to be really clear.
And so I was thinking, okay, between two of my clients, I think I'll have three sessions this week. Well, now I've just added another client, and I know we'll do two sessions this week. So I'm like, that'll be five. Now, remember, I've had zero. I have a lot of people who would call me, but not many of them that were willing to say, yes, I'm ready to go. But what I'm so aware of, Walt, is that had everything to do with me. It had nothing to do with my skill set. It had everything to do with my desire to open the door.
Isn't that something?
Because remember, I didn't want to do life coaching. So, but here I have a website that's all about Wendy doing life coaching.
How about that?
And I didn't feel I should take it down, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but I don't really know if I want to do it. Now, when you called me and we started doing the show together, I am a life coach. Mm-hmm. I have those skills on board, and I love talking about the subject of law of attraction.
Right.
So this to me was like no-brainer. I love this. You know, but on every show, you say, this is Walt Thiessen and life coach Wendy Dillard. And so many times I've scratched my head. I'm like, oh, God, I hope nobody calls me because I don't really want clients.
I'm sorry, but I was enacting the law of attraction saying, Wendy Dillard's a life coach. Send her life coach work.
And then at the end of the show, you'd say, well, so if Wendy, if somebody wants to work with you privately and get a little bit more deeper in this, how can they find you? And I'd say, WendyDillard.com. You're like, wow, that's so simple. Yay. And I would think to myself, don't anybody hear that part. Don't anyone hear that. I don't really want people to contact me.
Oh, well, that's funny. That is funny.
And now, if that is not a perfect example of contrary broadcast to the universe, because you're broadcasting, I'm a life coach. You're broadcasting, you know, here's how to find Wendy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a coach. And, yeah, I work with clients. But I didn't have any. And I didn't want any.
But it was still building up. It was still building up in your vortex. It was all, you know, kind of accumulating there. And when you finally got to the point where you said, well, I like the idea of quantum leap, boom, the door opened.
You know what? And that really had a big, big shift for me is when we started talking quantum leaps. I'm like, oh, no, wait, that's something I can put my hands on.
You did. You got
that's
really excited.
That's something I really get into.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, wow. And the universe has opened up and I'm in the matching process. People are matching up with me. Even the gal who called me today, she called me a couple weeks ago for the first time, said she'd listened. She actually had gone. She saw my website first. My website has the podcast info, so she went and she listened to a number of podcasts, really felt drawn to me, called me, but wasn't ready to start. And so I'm like, okay, you know, hey, I'm not here to force anybody to do something they're not ready for.
Right.
And it wasn't that she didn't want to do it. It was a matter of how does she find the finances for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that.
Sure.
And so I kind of knew I would hear from her again because I felt like we had such a really good bond, you know, but I didn't put any restriction on when it would happen or when it wouldn't happen. And so it's really kind of cool because she had called me before, we talked well beyond our 15-minute free consultation because I don't keep a stopwatch. But, you know, I throw it out at 15 minutes. So if I have to go, I don't feel bad saying, I got to run. But we had a great rapport. I mean, really good rapport. And I thought, oh my God, I really like her. I really want to work with her. And then to have her call me today, I mean, think about it, Walt. If you're in a personal crisis, isn't it easier to call somebody you've already talked to?
Oh, yeah.
That it is to call somebody you've never talked to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially if it's something personal like that. Because personal is something you don't want to share with just anybody.
And so even though we hadn't started working together, our rapport had already been established. And so calling me when she said, do you remember me? I'm like, oh, yeah. And I named off like three or four different things about her because I totally remember her because that's how much of a bond we created.
That's nice.
So anyway, my shingle's open. I am definitely loving doing Quantum Leap coaching. If you want to go slow, call someone else. If you want to go fast, I'm your gal.
There you go. That's good. That's a good positioning statement. I like that.
So anyway, that's my update for today.
Yeah.
And when you said, how are you feeling? I'm feeling on top of the world.
Well,
got two awesome sessions coming up tonight, and I'm looking forward to them.
I can't imagine why you're feeling so good. I mean, gee. I mean, that's really, really terrific. And the other thing that really captures my attention about it is the fact that you're asking yourself, when will I know that it's a good time to switch? And as soon as you said that, I instantly got the answer. You're going to know when it's time to switch. It's going to be really easy because you're going to finally get a call and you're going to look at your schedule of all your free time and you're going to realize there isn't any left. So the only thing to do at this point is to just do it full time because you got plenty of business coming in.
That's exactly my sense as well.
Yeah.
I knew it would have to do with the scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how my how I went freelancing, because I was working at the costume shop where, you know, I worked typical 9 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And then when I started realizing I was having to say no to more of the freelance jobs because I didn't have the time to do it, that's when I went, you know, I think it's time to just take a hot jump off the high dive and say I'm done with the day job. And I went for it.
That's good.
And it took me about 10 or 12 years before I got bored of it. So it lasted a long time.
And obviously that's going to serve you well when it comes to making that next decision about when to go full time into this, because you've already been through it once before. You know what that's like. You've been there.
I've been through it. And my relationship with my inner being and guidance is so powerfully strong, and I trust it so implicitly that I don't feel like I would make a mistake. I don't see, and like, even if I did, I'm here, I like to play worst case scenario. Even if I did, I would still land on my feet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know law of attraction. I know how it works. I get it. I've practiced so many elements of it that I can like turn on a dime when necessary.
I don't really think there's
open to guidance.
I don't think there's any downside to this at all. I really don't. I don't think there's any at all. I think it's all upside.
Yay! That's how I feel too. So
Good. Today
is a banner winning day.
Fantastic.
And just a point I want to make that I thought was just kind of interesting to note in the world of law of attraction, as whether it's me or you or our listeners, you know, oftentimes we're looking for a sign. Like, how do we know when? But less, I will tell you that just because I connected with the client that I had last night, like 5 days ago, didn't mean I knew that, oh, yes, this is moving in the right. I mean, I knew it was a positive step in the right direction because I had a new client.
Sure.
But the thing that was unique is it was having the session with her last night.
Mm.
That allowed me to have an experience that felt so fabulous to me that what it meant to me was like the next piece of information along my trail or along my path.
Sure.
So like I had said, I'm typing at my keyboard doing the day job, but I'm really thinking about and basking and milking the pleasure of knowing that I made a difference that not anybody can do.
That's nice.
I mean, not just any therapist can do it either. I know, I've been to many therapists and they've never done this level of work with me. And so knowing that this was a special, unique skill set that I've created that I do in integration with my inner being and with all intuitive guidance, I recognize a value. That really blew me away. But I couldn't have known that from an experiential perspective unless or until I had done that session with her.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it was the taking the action, the doing the session that actually produced the results that gave me the data of the next thing to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started focusing on, wow, this is where my value lies. This is where my value lies. And then boom, you know, I had this other client call me today and boom, you know, we're starting with that one already tonight. And that to me was just like, wow, I get it. And in the past, sometimes I would wait, like, well, I don't know if I want to pull the trigger on this because what if? And I had all the what ifs. But this one, I pulled the trigger and I really didn't even get the guidance or the insight that was necessary for the next thing to take me along this path until I took the action.
Which is very
cool. And that's
cool.
The point up. That's what I'm wanting to point out. That sometimes you need some guidance. But the guidance comes at the heels of taking action. Guidance doesn't always come in a vacuum. It doesn't always come by just sitting in a meditative chair and going, now what? Because even my inner being couldn't have said this to me and have it have the impact that having the life experience did have on me.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Sure. I mean, ultimately, what you're talking about here is you're breaking through with a relatively untouched field. I mean, there is probably, you know, a few people out there somewhere who do something that they call quantum leap coaching. So, I mean, I'm sure it's not a term that's never been used before, but I'm also pretty sure it's a pretty rare term. You could probably do some searching and find some, but I'd be willing to bet that you're looking at, you know, tens, not thousands. So, what you're breaking into here, you not only are you breaking into a field that's relatively untouched, but I'm also willing to bet that you're doing it in a way that's a little different from the others because, well, there's a chance that they're taking the Abrahamic approach, but I wouldn't bet on it. So, I mean, what you're creating is really very, very unique. Maybe not 100% unique, but I don't think it needs to be. It's so unique. It's so unusual that, yeah, anybody who wants to have big changes going on in their life, they're going to be attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Simple plain fact. I mean, that's what the law of attraction is. Law of attraction. That which is like unto itself is drawn. I mean, that's what you're doing. You are putting out there, I will help people make quantum leaps. People who want to make quantum leaps are going to find you. It's going to be that simple.
And I know they'll find me.
Oh, yeah.
Because the typical business model is if you put yourself in business, you go out and you find your customers.
Yes.
But I really, and I've known this for a couple weeks, for me to change that model, my customers will find me because they are coming in response to asking for something. They're looking for something in their life and I'm the solution. Instead of me thinking, okay, I'm the solution. Now let me go find the people with the problems.
Yeah, that's not the right way around. Especially when you have something as powerful as the law of attraction working on your side, you might as well use it as your main marketing vehicle. I mean, come on.
And that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm happy to market. If I feel led to pay for advertising, I'll go that direction. But I've got to be led to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do business the conventional way. And what's interesting is, you know, at the beginning of this year, end of last year, another co-authored book that I was a part of was created.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is Creating Business Beyond This Reality.
Remember that,
which
yes.
Which is all about doing business in a very unconventional way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm pretty darn unconventional.
Oh, I think that's a fairly safe assumption to make. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't fit into normal mold. It has never been my thing.
Let's see, what's conventional about you? Well, you use a phone. That's conventional. Let's see. You talk English. That's conventional.
I'm always on a headset. I don't hold the phone to
my ear. Oh, okay. So even there, you're not quite conventional.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. That's really funny. Well, great update. That was really good. Doesn't lift people's vibration, I don't know what will, because that's exciting news. Really good. It's great to hear somebody else's success. It really is.
It's not just about me talking about myself. My hope is that every time I talk about specific things that are occurring for me, I talk about them in how I receive the information and what I do with the information and how that information is interpreted and what it means. All of those are models and illustrations that anybody who's listening can take and use in their own situation, in their own life, because I feel like I'm providing a template for how other people can work with their inner being mm-hmm. and how they can read the signs and the symbols. And so I do talk in first person, and I am talking about my own thing. And yes, I am excited about what's going on, but I'm doing so in this way that other people can go, oh, I know what to do with this. Or I just had that thought the other day. Now I know what that means. Now I know what to do with that. That's really my hope, is because I don't have to just talk about this on this platform, but I feel like this is what I had always been looking for and didn't have.
Yeah. So, and I think that's getting out too. Well, plus is also the cherry on top, because in addition to that, you are excited. And I think excitement is also contagious. When one person, that's why I think it's so good to hear other people's success stories. That's why I think hearing your success story is good for me and for listeners and anybody who's connected to the podcast, because we all get to share in that energy. And when we share in the energy, we get inspired to build our own energy with our own attractions. It just, it all kind of fuels each other, and everything just gets bigger and bigger because of that.
Yes. And so let's all do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the impetus behind the book. The book was, let's build a book that, you know, we're all building energy together. And boy, is that happening. Oof.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's see. We should probably spend a little time on the topic of the law of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham, since that's what the show is about.
I don't know if we should. I would like.
Oh, okay. Well, we could do that. We are on part three, and we are on a subsection that I commented to you before the show. It has kind of an interesting title. It says, how about when two compete for the same trophy? And I thought, trophy? And you had a perfect explanation for that. So look, before we even get to your explanation, let's see what they say, and then you can tell us the explanation, all right? So Jerry says, since in a competitive situation, when one person wins the trophy, it means that the other person loses it. How can each person get what they want?
And Abraham responds by saying, by recognizing that there are unlimited trophies. When you put yourself in a competition where there is only one trophy, you are putting yourself automatically in a situation of knowing that only one will win the trophy. The one who is clearest, the one with the strongest desire and the greatest expectancy of winning, will win it. Competition can serve you because it stimulates your desire. But it can be a disadvantage if it hampers your belief in succeeding. Find a way to have fun with the competition. Look for the advantages it brings to you, even if you do not bring home the trophy. And as you feel good, no matter what, you win what we consider to be the greatest trophy of all. You win connection. You win clarity. You win vitality. You win alignment with your inner being. And in that attitude, you will bring home more trophies. In this unlimited universe, In this unlimited universe, there need be no competition for resources, for the resources are unlimited. You may deprive yourself of receiving them and therefore perceive a shortage, but it is really of your own making.
Yeah, that whole thing really makes sense. And by the way, I want to really play up one part of it. Find a way to have fun in the competition. Just looking in the world of sports, inevitably, the team or the player that's having the most fun has always the best chance of winning. It doesn't mean that that person or that team always wins, but boy, do they win more often than not. That's the pattern. You see it really clearly. The teams that have the most fun, the players that have the most fun in individual sports, they're the ones that really shine, and they shine over and over again, and they become fan favorites because they're having such a good time. That's why they become fan favorites. It isn't because they're winners. That certainly helps. It's because they're liked. They're adored. They're like, oh, yeah, I want to be like that. I want to have fun like that. I want to have that kind of joy. So they become role models in that sense.
Well, and I think you started to say this a little bit, and then you went on, where they were having fun.
Yes.
And, you know, part of what I have learned through my process of, you know, heading towards Project X has been, I have been in times when I've been really intense. I've had times where I've really just been able to let go. And I mean, I've kind of gone up and down the emotional spectrum in terms of holding on too tight and letting go. And interestingly, this week, I was listening to some new Abraham CDs. They were new to me, but they're probably about 5 months old, where Abraham was talking about, oh, I may not say it right, but in my mind, it was like the light touch, the soft touch, that when you desire something, when you do it with a soft desire versus Wendy's intense, I got to have it, and this is how I'm going to make it go. When it's a light, soft touch, that indicates that there's not a whole, you're not like having a huge attachment to, you have to have this thing. And if you don't have this thing, you'll get really upset. It's more like, I really want it. It'd be really nice if I had it. And if I didn't, my life will still be happy. But gosh, it'd be cool if I did get it.
Yes.
That's kind of like the lighter, softer, desiring approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fits into the area of competition, which kind of sounds weird because you think of like team players as, you know, rugged and, you know, going out there and putting your best foot forward. But the one that's doing it from a place of, I just really love playing this sport. If there's anything I could do in the whole wide world, this is where I'd rather be because this is really fun for me. Versus, let's say the athlete who, they've been doing it a long time, but they keep getting benched and they don't know how they're going to get out on the field and they don't want to be benched, but they keep being benched and they're trying to like think through, you know, how can I be better at what I'm doing so the coach will recognize me and put me out in the field more often. There's a lot of efforting in that. And if you have a team that has more of efforting going on because they're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot riding on this, you know, you might have parent expectations, coach expectations, fans expectations. And if the players go into the sport with all of those expectations on their mind, that's a lot of heaviness,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of resistance.
Oh, yeah.
But the players that go in with a kind of a freedom of, I'm doing this because I love to do it and it's what I love and I'm glad the fans like me, but if they didn't, oh well, it doesn't matter. I'm glad my parents are proud of me, but if they didn't, oh well, this is what I'd still want to do. I'm really glad that the coach really likes me and puts me out as a first string player, but you know what? I'm doing it because this is what I love. Chances of that team winning where you have more players of that kind become like a gazillion to one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
In fact, I live in Connecticut, so naturally I am a fan of the UConn women's basketball program, which is the most successful women's basketball program in NCAA history. And I can tell you that what you just described, that phenomenon, will tell me every year whether or not my team's going to win the national championship. The last 2 years, they did not. They lost in the Final Four. And you could tell. You could see it in the faces of the players. They were so intense. And in fact, in the, not this year, but last year, they lost to Mississippi State in the semifinals. And I saw more what they call bricks thrown up in that game than I had seen in the last 10 years from a UConn team. A brick is where you throw up the ball, it's not even close to going in, it bounces off the backboard and goes flying off in some direction. And I mean, I was seeing it on layups, where they were wide open and they were throwing these bricks up there. And I'm thinking, these guys are much too tense. There's no way they're going to win this game. And sure enough, they didn't. They lost it in the last second. This year, same thing. They're playing Notre Dame just as tense, just as tight. And I'm just sitting there saying, guys, you got to loosen up. Come on, ladies. This is fun. Get fun. Get fun. They didn't do it. They lost again. But if you look at all the national championships they won with Breanna Stewart and Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and everybody else, every single one of those top players loved to play. They were just out there having so much fun. In fact, I remember back when Taurasi was still with UConn. This is back in the early 2000s. I think it was her last year, her senior year. And you know how when they're televising these things, they do these little things where, you know, they show you the players, they introduce you to them kind of behind the scenes. And Diana is doing her behind the scenes thing, and she's just playing with the ball and humming to herself and having a great time. You look at that, you say, there's no way she loses. She is having a blast. She is just having a blast. And of course she didn't. She killed him that year. So yeah, It happens every single time. You really see it with a winning team. It becomes very clear.
And so really, it's so advantageous for somebody to understand what are the components in a person's makeup that puts you in the position to be the winner or mm-hmm. to have the desire come to you. Because, you know, I grew up reading a lot of success books, a lot of books about, you know, set the goal and take all these steps and do it, make it happen. Oh, winner.
Death by intensity.
And I did that. And I didn't get the result that the book was saying I should get.
That's right.
And it causes me to think that maybe the person who was writing the book didn't have the awareness that they had a lighthearted playfulness going on inside of them when they did these steps. And they forgot, because they weren't aware, they didn't bother to mention it when they wrote the book. But I, being a pretty darn intense, serious woman, I would read the book and go, all right, I'm going to do it exactly the way they say, and I should get the result that they get. And then when it didn't happen, I would be so disappointed. Because I'm like, I know I did what they said to do. What's the deal? What's the difference? But today, I recognize there's a huge difference. Two people can follow the exact same strategy and get two completely different results because the mindset, what's going on internally for them, what they believe about winning, what they believe about taking those strategic steps makes the biggest difference in the world. And the truth is, it's not even the doing of the steps that makes the difference. It's the mindset that makes the difference.
It is, 100%.
And so I'm willing to say that you could have a person with a fabulous mindset that pretty much fumbles and foibles through the strategic steps and does everything the way it's not supposed to be done and could still land exactly where they want to be. Because it's, you know, like I have determined in terms of weight loss, it's not about the food.
No.
It's not about the exercise. Mm. It's not about the calories in, calories out. It's not about when I eat or when I don't eat or how many hours between when I eat. It has nothing to do with any of it. But, you know, that's not a very socialized, acceptable statement that I just made.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of flies in the face of, let's pretend I know the numbers, $100 gazillion worth of industries that are trying to help people get thin, get healthy, etc. And here I am saying all that stuff. No, none of that.
Well, I'll give you another example. I'll give you another example again from the world of women's basketball. And this is something that Gino Auriemma, the coach of the women's basketball team at UConn, he got in trouble, especially early in his career. He got in trouble a lot. He made controversial statements that people didn't necessarily like. Well, one of those statements was when Diana Taurasi was playing with him. And he was interviewed on national TV and was asked why he thought his team had the best chance to win. He said, because we have Diana Taurasi and they don't. And he got lambasted for, you know, oh, the ego that's involved in that. Oh, he's so full of himself and so forth. No, he was happy. He had the player who was most psyched, who was most interested in being out there and doing all the stuff that she knew how to do. And just she was ready for it. That's what he was saying. And they didn't see it that way. They didn't understand. Yeah, fascinating stuff.
And another thing that we just read from the book, The Law of Attraction, that I think is fascinating, is Abraham is saying there may be only one person who takes home a physical trophy, but you can take home your own internal trophy.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at all the wins that you get from doing the experience. You know, there are so many. Like let's just say there's somebody who, because I actually was thinking of this morning. I know my sister had run a 5K recently, and I had that in my brain, and I was thinking about that and thought, you know, at my current weight, running a 5K, not that it's impossible, but it is a very big mountain to overcome. Like I have a lot of beliefs about my physical shape and my stamina and whatnot about running, but if I were to do it, let's say I really put myself out there and I went, I am going to run a 5K, and I started working out in a way that I chose to do it. If I did not win, as in I didn't get the trophy and I didn't break through the yellow streamer at the other end, you better believe if I even made it to the end, even if I took five times longer than everyone else, that would be a win for me.
It is.
Because I compete against myself.
Right.
But a lot of people compete against others, and they don't look at what is their own personal best. You know, what if they, you know, like for me, if I were to run a 5K, that would be me besting myself. Because right now I could feel pretty good about like maybe walking 10 blocks or 20 blocks. I don't know. I could probably walk a couple miles easily. But ask me to run it. Oh, now we're in a whole new ball game. I'd say I might be able to run about from my house to about four houses down. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be winded and I'd stop. So if I could run a 10K, holy cow, that would be a really big deal.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and so that to me, and I know I can even hear it in my own head from who I used to be would say, oh, Wendy, you're just like making excuses because you didn't come home with the trophy. But you know what? That's socialized thinking.
That's negative self-talk. That's all it is. That's nothing.
Well, it is something to me. You know, I'm not saying I'm putting stock in it, but I'm saying it's real that people think that way.
True.
I used think that way because from a socialized perspective, people, when I was growing up, put a lot of emphasis on winning. And I remember I was in the fourth grade and I was in a jump roping contest. And my best friend, she took the first place and she got a first place ribbon. And I won fourth place. And it wasn't like there were only four people. There might have been 10 or 15 people. So fourth place was still not a bad position to come in. And I did get a ribbon. And fifth place didn't get a ribbon. So it's like, okay, that was really cool. But I'll tell you what, here I am at this age in my life. And I still remember in the fourth grade feeling bad because I got fourth place and my best friend got first.
Mm.
Like, man, she was three places better than me. And I didn't feel like a loser. Oh, wait, maybe I take that back. I did. I felt like getting fourth place was like, oh, pittance, like honorable mention, like somebody was almost taking pity on me by giving me a ribbon. That's really how I internalized that in the fourth grade.
Yeah.
So I get it that I grew up in a very socialized idea about competitive sports and what it meant to win. And so it took a lot for me to like adjust my thinking so that now it doesn't matter if I come home with the first place ribbon or not. It's how did I best myself?
And that's it.
And you know,
that's it right there. Because, I mean, I'm a UConn fan, so I could tell Gino Auriemma stories all day. But one comes to mind that just fits this perfectly. Like you said, if you go out to try to compete against somebody else, you're really setting yourself up for failure. It doesn't matter how good you are either. You're still setting yourself up for failure because you're going to base your entire performance on how the other guy does. And that's not easy to win. That's pretty hard to win against. One of the things he does, like he'll take a couple of players. He runs the most unusual practices in the world, and they're really effective. But he'll take a couple of players who are having trouble defensively. They're just not doing a good job defensively. And he'll put them on the floor with five other players on the other team. And he'll tell the two, okay, those five are going to bring the ball up court. Your job is to keep them from scoring. And they have to keep doing it until they finally stop them from scoring. And it'll be score after score after score, 5-on-2. I mean, that's pretty hard to stop, right? Well, it's no longer about competing against them. You're just simply trying to find some way to just stop the ball and taking the competition out of it completely. You just want to stop the ball. If you can stop the ball once, you've won. It doesn't matter what the score is. You've won because you stopped it once. Well, that eliminates competition against somebody else because now you're competing against yourself. You're competing against, can I improve what I did on the last try?
I'm thinking. I'm quiet. I'm thinking. Because I agree with what you're saying. I'm just wondering if there are some variations because I still think it all comes down to mindset. And I don't know that it's necessarily about taking the competition aspect out or the not competing against someone else out or only competing against your own things. I think it could still be all sorts of variations, but it really all comes down to having that light, soft desire to be able to achieve that which you desire to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it without resistance, that's the piece that makes the biggest difference,
yeah.
is doing it without resistance. And what you just talked about, it was an awesome drill that the coach put them through so that they could start to create an autopilot rhythm of doing what they needed to do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but I remember when I was junior in high school, I was on the badminton team, and I had I played doubles, so my best friend and I were partners. And in our junior year, we were third doubles, and there's first, second, and third, fourth doubles, and of course, first doubles is the best. And we just didn't see how we were ever going to go up from third to anything higher, because the second and the first doubles team were seniors. They'd been doing it longer. My partner and I, this was the first year we'd ever done badminton. So the fact we were third was like, woohoo. I mean, we were in fourth for a long time and moved up to third, and we're really thrilled.
Nice.
But every time we played against the second or the first doubles team, we lost every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'd be in practices on a regular basis, and I mean, we never won. And so we just knew in our minds, they're better, they have more skill, they've been at this longer than us, and we figured by the next year, they'll be graduated, and, you know, yeah, we'll get to move up to number one, but then who will our competition be?
Mm.
You know? And so what was fascinating is it was time to go to, I don't know, whatever the tournament is for the end of the year. And our second doubles team, one of them was going on a trip. And so the other one was going to move to the singles. And now one was going out of town. So that meant we automatically moved up into the second position. And the ones that go to like the tournament are your first and your second. So we automatically. And we're thinking, oh my God, this is so exciting. And at the same time, oh my God, if we've never been able to beat our first or second team ever, even one practice round, what kind of competition are we going to be up against? So the way they do it is they put, because we're on the same high school, you know, it's bracket things,
right.
Where they're on one bracket, we're on another.
Yeah.
And we literally, her name was Nancy, she and I went into this tournament just going, we're just happy to say that we got to go.
There you go.
We had no investment in anything. We figured we'd probably lose in the first round and be done, but at least we could say we went.
Yeah, you went. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So we somehow, it was best, it's best 2 out of 3, and then you advance to the next round. We somehow won the first round against some competing high school, and we were just like, oh my God, we're in shock. We had no idea that was possible. So then we go to our second round, and we're thinking, oh, we've already won.
Oh, boy.
Because
yeah.
We won one round. We're good. Guess what? We won the second round.
The second one, yeah.
And there are a total of 4 rounds. We won the third one.
Whoa.
Well, now we're freaking out. And guess what? On the other bracket, our high school number one team also won all the things. So at the very end, I mean, I swear to God, this is like one of these high school movies that you see,
yeah.
Like after school movies.
Yeah,
I
sure.
totally felt like it was one of those. So at the very end, it's us playing our own team who we've never beat.
Right.
So me and my partner, Nancy, we're just on a cloud going, we can't believe we got to this point. And if we lose here, we've already won 3 times. This was magnificent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we play the first, you know, game against them, and somehow we beat them 15-13.
Whoa.
And you have to win by 2 points.
Right.
And it was like, we're just looking at each other going, oh my God, it's the first time we've ever beat them. This is magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that went to our heads.
And I know where the second game goes.
Round, we lost 15-7. And it was a pitiful loss. I mean, it was like, we couldn't do anything right.
Oh, dear.
And again, we just laughed and went, you know, hey, we're here. We're going to go for the whatever we can. And we did not care if we won. I mean, we did. But it was like we knew we had already won because we had already done things we had never been able to do before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last game happens, and if I remember correctly, it was one of those up to the end where we go like 13-13, 14-4. It was tough.
Wow.
And we ended up winning by the 2 points we needed.
Did you really? Wow.
We won. Get this. Didn't know this beforehand. It was the first women's trophy ever for that high school.
No kidding.
Yeah. To this day, that trophy is still sitting in the trophy case.
Fantastic. Whoa.
You know, and our pictures were put on the wall. But, you know, that to me is the ultimate story of it's all mindset. And we went in without a huge investment. There was no resistance in us. Okay, now here's something funny. So now we go to state championship, right? Not just like our district area. Now we go to state.
Right.
And we went in and we slam dunk lost in the first round. And these people were so good. So good. It's like they saw our little shuttlecock come and slammed it to the ground. And we looked at each other like, this one doesn't look like it's going to be so easy. So we did not bring home that trophy.
That's funny, though.
But even that went to mindset, because even when we went into that game at the state level, I don't want to say we even went in with everybody wants to win, but I don't think we even thought about winning. It's like our whole thing was we just got there. We won in our heads already. Now, and that was it.
Yep.
And when we saw the fierce competition, we were like, oh, we're screwed. And that's what we went into with that first match. Oh, we're screwed. These people are really good.
In other words, in every case, you were right.
In every case, we were right.
Yep.
And I will tell you, just because this is funny, our own high school team that we beat, they were very, very sore losers.
Oh, really?
And I can understand why, because I would imagine they went into it thinking, okay, we did all this hard work to get to the point we're going to play against our own team, who in our minds, they're third doubles. We're first doubles. They've never come close to beating us. So for them, they're like, oh, I'm sure this is a slam dunk. And I don't know, it wasn't, because we did beat them. And so they had a very hard time living that down when we all went back to school the next week.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Miracle on Ice, where the United States beat the Soviet Union in ice hockey in the 1980 Olympics, a year they were not supposed to win anything, and the Soviets were supposed to just walk away with the gold medal. And indeed, in the game what they played, the Russians showed up, the Soviets showed up, and they just weren't taking the Americans seriously. And they even admitted it afterward. Their top goaltender, Tretiak was his name, he admitted in an interview afterward, we did not take them seriously, and you cannot do that in ice hockey. Well, you cannot do that in any sport, but you can't do it in that case. They didn't take them seriously, and they lost. Well, guess what? You have to take it seriously. If you don't take it seriously, I mean, it's like one guy said, they were just here to, you know, to trade for some blue jeans and go home with a gold medal and have a good time. They weren't there to actually win a hockey game.
Well, and you know, it really comes down to the mindset that you have going into something makes all the difference in the world.
It really does.
Because your mindset equals what you're thinking chronically, habitually, constantly. And whatever you're feeling about those thoughts is what you're broadcasting.
Yes.
And
exactly
so what
right.
you're constantly broadcasting is what law of attraction is going to respond to. And they're going to bring back to you something of a matching kind.
The only problem is that we're out of time for broadcasting for the show, so we're going to have to carry it over to tomorrow. But otherwise, it's been wonderful. I hope you'll be here as well.
Like you have to ask? Of course I'll be here.
Well, then I will too. And we hope you join us as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.